Welcome to this week's Devil the Detail podcast. I'm Rob Parkinson, and I'm here talking all things. So for a Devil's joining the show this week, as ever, we've got Paul Parkin. How's your week been, mate?
Yeah, it's been okay. It's one of them weeks where it just sort of flies by and you don't really know what's going on. I don't think I've achieved anything, but yeah, it's Wednesday already. We're playing on Friday. It feels like the league game was just yesterday. So yeah, no, it's going okay. I suppose the weather will buck up a bit for spring. It's not exactly brilliant, but other than that, no, I'm having a good week. I'm trying to think what I've done. I've been trying to sort out my trip to, still trying to get that sorted. It's been a nightmare. But once that's done, I'll be happy. Once I know that I'm definitely going. But yeah, other than that, no, it's been a good week.
Yeah, we've been naming you Phileas Fogg, going on travels, adventures far away.
I've been called a lot worse, so help for that. I feel like Dr. Evil sitting in his chair, by the way.
£1 million.
Yeah, I've had to move because I've had my niece round and she's been using my iPad. Mm. So I've had to plug it in because it was dying. So yeah, so I'm sat in a corner now, like I'm in a box.
Yeah, you find that with kids, just zap all your technology, iPads, phones. Yeah, just a bit of a nightmare. I have to have a constant supply of them. If they don't get it at the right time, lose their minds, especially over Easter.
Absolutely. Well, she's a good girl today. She went climbing at Rivington.
Is she?
Well, I didn't. Well, let's not get carried away. I only just climbed the stairs. She went out and then she came back here with drenched because of the rain and got the dog. And she came back. She said, can I use your iPad? I'm like, yeah, go on then. So she's doing me a lot of pictures, which was nice. So I'm not going to complain. But so just if anyone's wondering why I'm setting a beanbag in the corner, that's basically why.
Yeah, he said, do you want to walk up Rivington when I've got a podcast later? I've got to save myself for that. Yeah, that's the real answer was.
That's exactly it. I'm too professional to do.
I've had Easter dollars in it, so it's just madness with kids in it, dropping them off, picking them up, doing stuff, mixing, working with all that as well, and podcasts and all that. So managed to upload one of our video podcasts to do our YouTube channel. Very excited about our YouTube channel, getting lots of views on there, on our shorts. It's like 4,500 people, which is mind-blowing, really. People watching us talking to Red Devils as well as listening to us.
Yeah, I mean, that's massive, isn't it? You think about it, I mean, 6,000 people turned up the other day at the game. Mm. You think they're from all over, Wayne fans as well, have got an interest in just watching the team. And then your figures like that. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. We were probably getting in the tens rather than in the thousands. So, yeah, no, it's good. So we thank everyone for tuning in and hopefully we can just get a little bit bigger.
Yeah, super excited about that. Also super excited about the big win against Lee. We're going to talk all about that. We've got all the big news come out of the club this week. And then we're going to preview the big games this week for both men and ladies. So we'll start with a win against Lee.
You're listening to Devil in the Detail. And this is your big match review.
So, Salford Devils were victorious in the big derby clash on Easter Saturday. They beat Lee 32 points to 22. Paul, big win for Paul Rowley's men, back on the horse after the cup defeat.
Yeah, great way to bounce back. I thought it'd be tough looking at how Lee have been this year. They've been competitive in all the games, despite probably not getting the results they wanted. And I know they had a couple of players missing, but so did we. And I just thought it was a really good performance all round. I think the scoreline maybe flattered Lee a little bit. I think we were probably more than 10 points better than them on the day, but a few sloppy tries we let in, all down one side it seemed as well. But that's a new combination, new players. But I thought we managed the game really well. I thought we played some really good attacking stuff. Certain players really stood up again. And then other ones getting the first start, Joe Mellor, people like that. So all round, yeah, just a great performance, I think. And we probably deserve more from the game than we got.
It was a reaction, which is what we wanted from last week's defeat. And I think we got one. I think the players were really good, really professional, were in control throughout for me. Like in a big derby game, tempers can get flared and pressure can build. But I thought as a whole, they played really well, kept the mind in the game, managed the game out really well, scored when we had to. And obviously, like you say, shook off the defeat from last week, which is the most important thing going forward, because obviously we look at the league table, don't we? And we're we're eighth, are we, at the moment, on the right side of the points difference. With a couple more wins in the next few weeks, Parky should propel us up that table. Obviously, they'll do this stereotypical, we're going to look at one game at a time chat. But as a fan, you can look at your fixture list and you can look at the league table and you think two or three wins on the spin here puts us in orbit.
I mean, the one thing that really stood up for me, and I'm not sure how we conceded 22 points, was from the week before, the defence, it was chalk and cheese. Certainly in that first half, every time Leeds tried anything, we shut them down. We were in with numbers, two or three men gang tackling every time. I was really impressed with our defence, and I thought it gives you that, you get a feeling. I got it last week at Old Kerr, more or less after the first minute. I thought, this isn't us. We don't look right. But in the first sort of 10 minutes against Leeds, we're in control. They're not going to get around as easily. And it was a couple of bad reads, I've got to say, from a couple of players probably coming out the line and that sort of thing. But other than that, I was really, I'm really surprised. And as someone said to me at the end of the game, one of our listeners and a huge fan, he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, say this on the podcast. And he's absolutely right. We should be unbeaten. We should be unbeaten. We should have beat Leeds first up. We were the better team that night and we got harshly dealt with, I think, on a few decisions that turned the game. Discipline was possibly, I'm not saying it's an issue because I don't agree it was. It was just how it was interpreted. The Wigan game, we had it in the bag. One error cost you the game. Other than that, besides the whole KR Cup game in the league, we should be unbeaten. That's how good we've actually been. And it's a little bit strange when you see a sort of seventh or eighth or whatever. You're thinking, how are we not further up? We deserve to be. And then you've got this points difference thing. You think, well, we're in a plus, but only compared to other teams. You think, how has this happened? We are better than what it looks like at the moment. And he was absolutely right. I think we should be. Or even, I mean, the Wigan game was a big one for us. If we'd have got over that one, having beat Saints the week before, imagine how high the confidence would have been. I don't think Old Kerr quite happens the way that it did if we'd have beat Wigan. But I think the progress we've made, I mean, because in the start of the year, and I was one of them, I was negative. I thought we'd be a bottom three side. I just didn't see, looking at the squad numbers, not the actual quality of the players, just the size of the squad. But we've had injuries and we've dealt with them. Even now, without Singleton, without Dudson, no props as such. And yet we're playing Shane Wright up there as a prop, and he's doing fine. We had Andrew Dixon play there the other week, and he was really good. We're just doing it. We're doing it tough, as we would do. But it doesn't seem to make that much of a difference to the way we play. And then even this week, we only had two forwards, really. And I know Amir Burra is a forward in terms of he's a hooker, but as in an actual go forward. We had Burra and Atkin on the bench, and we had Cust, Sneed and Mellor. Basically, five kind of halfbacks, if you like, in the team. And I looked at it and I thought, this is going to be a nightmare because they've got a decent pack. And no, again, you didn't notice it. And the way that every player is just doing their bit and interchanging with each other is brilliant. And we've got this for the three quarters, certainly with Laffey and McDonald, the meters they're making takes away from the fact that we might not have the biggest forwards. And then you've got Sam Stone and Callum Watkins in the back row who are outstanding at the moment, absolutely outstanding. And I'm just so delighted with that I'm being proven wrong, but what this squad can actually do. And if we had have got even one more result, we'd join top of the league. That's how it would have been. Holding on for 5 minutes against Wigan or whatever, getting the bounce of the ball rubber green at Leeds. We're actually a really good side, and we've just got to keep that up now.
Belief for me, Parker. The players believe that whatever happens, whatever gets thrown at them, they can react to it. And I think obviously Paul Rowley is probably a big factor in that with his psychology and the Rowley ball. Like you say, it's quite useful that players can't interchangeable. They can play in several different positions. Thought Joe Mellor was fantastic on Saturday, coming on at hooker. Well, starting at hooker, I thought he was very good in that area. Like you said, you know, playing with his head up, looking for passes, looking at space, and you can tell he's been a good player. And he still is. Really. Spoke to him after the game, seemed really happy, wanted to play more. So, yeah, he'll be someone to look out for, I think, in the next coming months. Talking about listeners, just back to your original point about your mate, one tapped me on the shoulder on Saturday. He said, I was going to say, appreciate what you do with the podcast, you and the lads. And I was like, for the first time in a long time, someone's ever done that to me. No, because I'm not normally in with the fans. I'm normally in the press box. But this time it was with my son. So he just tapped me on the way out and said, I appreciate what you, what, you know, do with it. And I was like, cheers, mate. It sort of made you feel like, you know, a bit emotional, really.
But it's strange when people do talk to you about it as well, because you don't think people listen, or certain people, a certain group of people wouldn't listen, and they do. I mean, they're all great people. I had the honour this week of going in the South Stand for the first time in probably 3 years at least. I took my nephew in there. He needs his education stepping up now. he's been posh in the West Stand for too long, and we had a great time. The atmosphere was brilliant. I mean, it was busy in there as well, but it was. It seemed like the good old days in that way. And obviously the team winning does that, and that helps. But the whole, just that buzz around the club at the moment, it's there, and it's great to see. Because, like I said, it started to see, well, in December, I think we were all ready to just give it up, I think. And then you see these people, and they tell you that they listen to the podcast, and that people are involved in the club again, and it's great to see. And I think everybody needs a pat on the back for that. But certainly the supporters the other day were brilliant. And I think the players respond. I really do. I think he must give him a lift when he walk out on the pitch and they see people there and the early noise that can be generated. And I thought it was really good atmosphere. I think credit to the lead fans as well, who turned up big numbers. That's always good to see. But and it definitely transferred onto the pitch. And some of the individuals that, I mean, they've been good all year, but on Saturday night really stood up. And it just shows that, I mean, some of these lads are probably once again going through the pain barrier. But every week, they just put their hand up and keep going. And when we do get a few players back, obviously, Nofaluma, we haven't seen really yet. Singleton will come back. Dodson will come back. People like that. And you start looking at the squad and going, actually, that's quite a tasty squad. And hopefully, it would have been nice maybe to have one or two more bodies. But overall, we've got all areas covered, I would have thought, for more injuries or whatever else. Partington's come back into the team. Shorrocks has gone on to the bench. I mean, Shorrocks has been outstanding this year. You've got real quality there. So, I mean, the signs are great. And Saturday night just proved that. I think we came over a really good league side. They're half-backs. Lamb and Moylan are superb players. Really clever. Kept them so quiet. I didn't really notice Lachlan Lamb until probably midway through the second half. I thought we just did a real number on him. I know he's coming back to fitness, but he's a very dangerous player, as we saw last year. Probably could have been Man of Steel, really. But yeah, overall, great performance. And like you've said, it was the way you bounced back. Mm. How many times in the past have we seen Salford take a tonking, make all promises during the week and get another tonking the week after? There's a different mentality, a different attitude. And it comes down to the coaching staff. I think, obviously, Rolls, Haggerty and Inu there are doing a great job behind the scenes, just getting them players to buy into what they want. And it isn't us against them sort of mentality.
Yeah, riding a wave of positivity, Parker. That's what it's all about. And like the Beach Boys said, good vibrations. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So we'll start. We'll have a quick look through the match. Lachlan Lamb got put in the bin after 6 minutes, obstructing Ryan Briley. Correct decision?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it wasn't anything else. There was nothing more to it. He wasn't going to score. He wasn't going to get to the ball. They had cover there. It was. But yeah, I mean, to be fair, I don't like foul play, obviously. But if that's a Salford player, I go, well done. Because you don't want that option to be there. So he did what he had to do for his team and took 10 minutes. And I thought we made the most of it. I thought Lee were okay anyway with 12 men at that period. But yeah, definitely was it. When you see it back straight away, you go, oh, hang on a minute. He's got to go off for 10 for that. But yeah, that's all it was. It was nothing more. There was no silly red cards being given out this week, no penalty tries or anything like that. So yeah, I think it was spot on the decision.
Yeah, Mark Snead kicked a penalty, made it 2-0. Salford followed up that with a try from Ryan Briley, attacking an edge. Kay Cust with the assist. Snead kicked the goal. Salford led 8-0.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little triangle again there, isn't there, that we had with Brody last year and Snead and Briley. Now Kay Cust's getting involved and it looked really good. I mean, the two, I know he's talking about both of the two tries in the first half from Ryan Briley were so well worked, really. We'd obviously done the video work. We'd looked at the options and bamboozled them a little bit. I mean, I thought Ryan was tremendous again the other day. I thought he was outstanding, even though he had a little misdemeanor just before half-time. But yeah, I thought overall, the way them three are starting to combine with a Shorrocks, or a Partington, and then you've got Joe Miller in there, or Chris Atkin, or Amabor. The options are going to be, they could be terrorising teams the way that we play the game. But yeah, it was a great try, and a good time to score as well. I think at that point, we were on top. We've got to make the most of it, because there's times where you don't, and you come away from the line, and you think, how have we not scored? They go down the other end and get something. And it was, you know, it could have been, I was expecting a tight game. So you have to take your chances where you can. It was a really good, well-worked try.
Yeah, sandwiched between the two Ryan Bradley tries was a lead try from Hanley. The second Bradley try, absolute magic from Kay Cust, pass out the back. It was a real moment. For me, I was like, whoa, where's that come from? Yeah. And like you said, he had a really good game. I think I'm going to put it out there. I think it's probably his best game in a silver shirt so far. And that's a good sign for me. Because I always think with Mark Snead and him, who will be the dominant halfback? Mm-hmm. We know Mark Snead demands the ball because he's the man. He's Iceman when it comes to press situations. But Kay Cust knows what he's doing. He knows where to open a team up, and he showed that with that second Ryan Bradley try.
Yeah, I think the thing is with Cade as well, he has played a different way at Wigan for the last couple of years. He's got to learn how Paul Rowley wants the game played. Mm. And at standoff, it's a very key role. We've seen it with what Brodie did for the last couple of years, how important that player is in our team. I mean, standoff's obviously important in every team, but in the way that we play, the way we move the ball about. And yeah, I think the other thing that he's got is pressure. Because if you don't perform, there are players there waiting to take your place. There's extra halfbacks in that squad now who can. Paul Rowley will put them in if he has to. And I think that'll step it up. And now Cade's getting to the. He's had an injury as well while he's been with us. So he's missed games. He had that head injury. And he's only getting over what had gone on last year with his bad injury problems. So he's getting fully fit. And now he gets into the flow of things. And he's starting to pick up and work out how the team members want him to play, how especially Snead and Brayley, how they want him to work. Could be very, very exciting. But like you say, that ball, I mean, I think he sent half the stand the wrong way, didn't he? Where's that? And he's gone. Brilliant to see. Great try. And obviously, Ryan will have enjoyed that against Lee. I know it's a club that he's got a lot of love for, but it's always good to score against your old team. Then he gets a double.
Still needed to finish it, but yeah, it was a wonderful ball. And like I say, Brayley inside, outside, under the posts, and we're in paradise at that point. Solver's next try, Ethan Ryan, he'd have made it 20 points to 4. Good finish from him. Went from right to left. Good hands. And for me, Ethan Ryan showed what a top finisher does. Got low and scored.
Yeah, he still took some scoring. It was well worked again. Lovely play between, well, four or five players, to be honest. But and the way the build up before it, keeping the ball alive and everything else. And then, but when he got the ball, he still had a lot of work to do. And again, another player that's only just kept coming back to fitness. He's, you know, he spent a long time out. He had surgery in the off season. And again, I mean, I know he plays wing. I'm not sure he is a winger. I don't know if he's natural to him. I know he's played there a lot, but some players just, I don't know, fit. So yeah, but I think he deserves a lot of credit for that try, because he had a lot of bodies coming across. And he had, like you say, he had to get down low and get the ball down. And he did just that. And at that point, I think I thought, that's it. I think we've got these nailed. And that's where I actually expected us to go on and put a bit of a number on them. Fair play to Lee. They got stuck into us in the second half. But at that point, I was as confident that the game was going to be ours.
Yeah. So, well, unfortunately, just on half time, Lee put on the pressure. Little kick through. Ryan Bradley took out the winger Hanley. Got put in the bin with about 10 seconds to go. Parky, right decision?
Again, yeah. And they were looking for penalty try and all sorts. He wasn't getting there. That wasn't going to be a try. I mean, yeah, it is. Again, if it goes the other way, if it's at the other end and it's a lead player knocking our player into touch, I want him gone for 10 minutes. So it's only fair. At first, I thought it was a bit hard. And I said to the guys around me, I said, it can't be a penalty try. Can't get. And then you start going, yeah, but that's common sense that it can't be. It doesn't mean that this video ref isn't going to go, do you know what I think it is? And then that, they give it then, and they get whatever. We could have been in trouble. So it was quite, there was still, I think it was still 20 odd seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
And then he decided to take the kick. And I went, what an odd decision. Surely being that far behind, you'd want to attack two tackles at least on our line with 12 men, give it a go. I mean, gaining the 2 points wasn't going to win him the game. They needed tries, and I was a bit surprised about that. So I was happy. What I will say is, going back to the one before the Uma Hanley tried the first one.
Yeah.
We got, I think it was three sets of six given against us again. And we were questioning. And I watched them all back because we were near the screen in the south stand. And I still no idea why any of them were given. Now, this is what the rugby league needs to clear up. They need to give us some. The referee has to indicate what he's giving it for. He can't just wave his hand and go six again. There was no, there were two of the three, there was definitely nothing involved in anything. I don't know what he'd seen, but he gave them. And then I think our lads just went, just let him score. Let him in, because otherwise it's just going to be more and more pressure, more defending. Just let him score. Get it out of the way.
Mm.
And then Hanley goes in. I think he just seemed a bit of a strange one to me.
Yeah, I think the problem with that is that obviously they see something, don't they? And they'll, the whole point of the six again is to keep the game going. So the referee can't just stop the play and say, it's holding down and go. How does he give the information to somebody on the sideline, let's say, who would then tell the person who's controlling the screen, let's say, for example, to put like a little, I don't know, a picture on there or writing on there or something that's going to, but by the time that communication happens of the referee telling the guy on the side who then tells the guy who works the screen, you're two or three tackles in, deep, aren't you? So everyone's going, what's that? I don't think you can transfer that information quick enough for everyone to know straight away.
There's two things there. One, they're all mic'd up, so it takes a second to announce it or do whatever. But if you don't want to do that, there has to be a hand or arm signal. Other referees do it. It's just that this referee chose not to, and none of us had a clue. And when it's suspect like that, if you can see that someone's kept their hand in the play of the ball, or we're offside or not square, the referee will instantly tell you why when you do it. There was none of that. And it was kind of like, well, what's that for? And you could see the players getting frustrated a little bit because they didn't know. And that's where it gets... I'm not knocking the ref. Not in a good game. I'm not... I'm just... He just needs to signal what that's for. Don't just go back and go, well, if the players don't know, how are you going to correct what you're doing wrong if you don't know what you've done?
Yeah.
That's the problem. But, again, Lee did what they had to do and scored. And then, again, with Hanley's just four out, with a penalty there, they create space out wide on that side. And that happened a lot in the second half on that the same side. And it was obviously something they'd worked on, and they were going to score at that point, down that side at some point anyway.
Yeah. There is a lot of guesswork in what the six agains are. Because I think that happened to me as well. And the guy said, what's he give that for? And I was thinking, holding down maybe? Because he's not square. And you kind of, you look at the screen, but like you say, I don't know how they communicate that information fast enough, really. But it's something that the RFL probably will be looking at, because it's an issue in it for fans, because everyone just groans, don't they? Oh, what was that for? Nobody knows. It's just referee give him another six for something that's inconspicuous, really. But if they can, I'm sure they'll be working on it for next season, maybe, and we'll have little images on the screen or something to tell us, maybe. So second half started. We're leading 26 without 12 men. For the next 10 minutes there, Lee had a real good go. I thought our defence was fantastic. There was a moment where Hardacre made a break on the far side, and McDonald and Briley dumped him in touch. That was a big moment for me. I think if Lee scored there, it could have been squeaky bum time for us. But you look through seasons, won't you? And you look through moments, and that was one. People aren't probably going to remember that down 3 or 4 months down the line when we're talking about our fantastic playoff run, hopefully. But you look at certain moments in certain games, and for me, that will be one of them where you think if he scores there, that could change everything.
Yeah, well, I only saw that back when I watched it back, because unfortunately, I'm still trying to get a coffee. So I've got to do something about them cues, guys. Yeah, I got back. Anyway, I watched it on that night, and I watched it back, and I saw that, and it shows that determination and that never say die attitude. And like you said, I think Lee would have got the rounds of the kitchen at half time. They weren't up for it in the first half. They didn't look right. I know they had players missing, key players. But I think Adrian Lamb would have told them what he needed to do. They'd obviously worked on things. Like I say, that going to that right edge every time, that was, even in the first half, they were trying it. And then in the second half, they went for it again. And there was some really good defence. There was another one later on where Ethan Ryan backed off and gave him a little bit of space, made them make the decision, which was the wrong decision. so we could cover and tackle. And it was great defence the way they worked it. But that just shows me the determination in the team, because we've been there, Rob. We've seen it, and aren't many of our sort of listeners will have, well, in the past with Salford teams, have seen a player running through and just gone, what am I supposed to do about that?
Yeah.
And then in recent years, it's kind of, that's changed a lot, that attitude. And you think back to like Niall Evans against Cass in that game a few years back, 2019, was it? Where we were already like 20-0 up or something, and he chased the Cass player virtually full length and dragged him in a touch. Things like that.
Yeah.
It's something in the club at the moment. There's a determination there. And as I've said a few times, if we do get a hammering, separate care, at any point, it won't be through a lack of heart and trying.
Mm.
So, yeah, great, great defence, great work. And that, like you've said, that's what wins your games. They're the little 1% extras that you need to put in to get us to the level we need to be if we're going to be in the playoffs and we're going to compete for things. And, I mean, Ryan Brierley, again, we mentioned him before, he had a great game, and that's just another example.
Yeah, I think Paul Rowley often talks about players' sort of mentality and sort of rugby players rather than sort of robots. Yeah. Yeah. And I think like moments like that, like you said with Ethan Ryan, weighing up the situation and actually having the game play intelligence to go, don't have to go running in there, let him what he needs to do and I'll just sweep up after. And that's why we pick these players, Andy, because they can think clearly under pressure. And that sometimes, maybe, when we looked at the past and the Salford teams, maybe clouded thought has come in when pressure situations have come up. So that's probably why we've often been on the wrong end of certain game changing moments. Not this time though, which was great. So Ryan Brierley comes back on. Salford back to full strength. Salford score next. Mark Snead, lovely offload by Partington. Snead dives under one challenge, over another, and 4 points for. Also for scrum half.
It was a bizarre try, that, because when we were looking at it, it looked like from where we were, the post had kind of got in the way. It looked like, oh, we lost that. Well, how's the ball come out there? And as soon as you see Sneedy go over, you think referee's going to pull it back, or he's going to go to the video ref. Whatever, there's something in there that's not quite right. And as soon as we saw it on the screen, it's like, oh my God, how's he done that?
Mm.
Brilliant from Partington. And that's, again, like you've just said there about roles and the player intelligence. He wants rugby players. I remember talking to him at a Supporters Trust event at the Dungy Partridge last year. And he loved the way the game was played in like the 80s and the 90s, where a loose forward was a ball-handling player. He wasn't just a big idiot that ran forward. Your halfbacks did things. All players had a role, but they needed the intelligence to play the game and could interchange in different roles. And he loves that. And that's, we saw that with Ollie. That's just being switched on and going, I'm not dying with this ball because I know I've drew these men have come in now. There's space somewhere for someone. And then Sneedy, being the player that he is, he's just there in the right place at the right time, like good halfbacks are. And I think we talk about him every week at the moment. Mark Sneedy's easily playing the best rugby of his career. He's put everything he's learned over the last 15 years or whatever into this season already. And it's working. He's been absolutely outstanding. Things like that where he just crop up, it looks easy. You've got to be there. You've got to read that play. You've got to know. And what he is doing at the same point, he's thinking, if he does get tackled, how do I set up for the next play? He's already ahead. He's not sort of just waiting until he goes down and going, right, now what? It's all sorted. Mm. But he was there and he was still watching the ball when it came out. And that's just intelligence.
Yeah. So Salford led 26-6. Another goal by Snead. Lee hit back from a try from Lachlan Lamb. Assist by Chamberlain. Burst the Salford line. Lamb on his inside. Goes under the post. Lee scored again through Hanley. 26-16. And a 10-point ball game. 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, it started to get a bit squeaky, but we got a bit worried. Thought if they go in again here, now we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We weren't, I don't think we were flagging either. I think Lee were going to have a period. Every team has a period in the game. You're going to. You're not. To keep teams scoreless these days is very, very difficult. And you've got to be, they've got to be really bad or you've got to be really good. And I think the other day, I think it was just the case that Lee had worked out a way of scoring and we needed to fix that during the game. And again, it was down that side. But full credit to Lee, they kept going, kept battling, and they made it difficult for us. And when you get a roll, we've seen it with our own lads, when you start scoring tries, it just seems to follow on and follow. You've got to break that cycle. And it takes a little bit of genius or a little bit, one big hit or something just to put a full stop to it. And I must admit, I was slightly worried we were going to throw it away. And that's what kind of upsets me a little bit, that when you look at points difference and the fact that we only beat it by 10. But for me, we were 20 points better than them. Mm. So but it got a little bit worrying at that point.
No need to worry, though, when Ethan Ryan's about. He scores his second, kick to the corner by Sneed, went to the video referee. Mm. And for me, I don't know how it was given. Because from what I saw, it comes off Ethan Ryan, goes forward, he picks up and scores. So it's either I didn't watch it right, or the video referee didn't get that right. I'm not going to moan about it, because you get swings and roundabouts. Some you get, some you don't. This one, for me, we got.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I actually initially thought we'd knock, so not from that bit, but from when the ball went down, I thought the next player to touch the ball was our player and knocked it forward.
Yeah.
And I watched it back and thought, no, he didn't. Yeah, when they both went up, the only thing I can presume is that when he's hit it, the ball's actually travelled backwards, even if it's gone backwards by millimetres, not forward, or even sideways, but it hasn't gone forward. That's the only thing I can assume. And then a bit of quick thinking on the floor, and we're in. But the referee gave try on the field.
Yeah.
And we've had it against us this year where you've gone, well, the ref's give a try, he might as well. And no point going to the video ref, because he's going to back him up and give him. Mm. It's very rare it gets overturned. And in a moment like that where it's kind of, we still don't know, and we've watched it back, we still don't really know whether it was or it wasn't. He's going to err on the side of what the referee says. Mm. And that's the way. So sometimes, yeah, you do get the bounce of the ball. It's pretty rare for us, I think. But like you say, yeah, I'll take it. But I think, had it gone the other way, I'd probably been upset. But I think I'd have probably gone, well, I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Maybe we should have dealt with it better in the first place.
From what I remember, I think it went through Sam Stone's legs, and maybe it didn't touch him. Maybe that sort of Ethan Ryan was able to pick the ball and score. If it had touched Stone, then he might have been offside or knock on.
That's where I thought when it went towards Stone, I thought Stone had got a hand to it.
No,
but he didn't. He kind of just went through. And the next thing, it's bouncing behind the line. I'm like, well,
strange.
Well, a lot to unscramble, but it was one of them. It could have gone either way. It could have done. We were just, you know, fortunate. I mean, if the referee had given no try straight away, the video ref would have given no try.
Yeah.
So, just got to go with what we've had to go with what the referee said. And like I said before, I actually thought the ref had a fairly okay game. Just want him to clear up his signals. But other than that, I don't think he did too much wrong.
Nope, not going to moan. Would you some? So, Lee at the death scored again. Hanley got his hat-trick, made it 32-22. They pushed again towards the very end, 90 seconds to go, but Ethan Ryan swept up as they kicked through, and the points were ours, Parker.
Yeah, again, they didn't give up, Lee, did they? And that's why I think they've got that spirit in them. I think that's why they had a great season last year. All right, they didn't get many injuries last year, and this year it's already started to hit them a little bit. But so they were, they kept fighting and kept going that side. And Hanley with a hat-trick, full marks to him. He scored a couple the week before against Fairham. He scored the week before that. He's obviously on a roll at the moment. And I think we should have possibly done a little bit more homework on him. I don't know. Is that an area we're going to have to look at on that our left, their right this week? Is it an interchange of bodies? I don't know. I mean, I don't know where Nofaluma is. I don't know what's going on there. We've flown in 12,000 miles and seen him once. We can't say. I know there was a lot of talk about him. He didn't have a pre-season. Neither did Ethan Ryan, but he's back playing. So we need something's going to happen. You know, I mean, this guy's obviously come over here on decent wage, I would have thought, as well. We need players in there. And if he's a natural winger from the NRL, should he be in there? And if he's in there, and the size, and does he stop some of them? We don't know. I know it's all hypothetical, but at the same point, I'm not knocking Ethan Ryan, but you've got to look, when we've only got a small squad, where are some of these players?
But is it a good sign that Paul Rowlett isn't being influenced by the fact that we have flown in 12,000 miles And, you know, we would like to see him on the pitch. He's playing players who are performing, who he can trust. And that's the important thing as a coach. It's all about who, if you put players on the pitch, they do a job for you and you're happy with the job. Why would I take them out?
I agree on it. It does worry me that is Nafaluma not a Paul Rowley signing?
I don't know.
Just a thought. But at the same point, he got man of the match against Wigan, according to the sponsors.
Yeah.
And never played again. So whether he hasn't been fit, he's twinned something again and whatever. And it does take time to settle. He's not come pre-season. He's not had the time here. The weather's been awful. Your head will be all over the place. But, yeah, you know, it'd be nice to hopefully see him get a run out at some point. And who knows? But whoever plays on that wing this week, hopefully we've done a little bit more work in defence. Because, again, we just what I saw with Ethan the other day was he was shooting out the line. Whether that's something he's told to do to try and cut off the option, I don't know. But they were just putting this long ball over the top and we were left wide open. It doesn't seem to happen that much on the opposite side. So I don't know whether it's just the tactic we employ and it could be any winger and he's going to do the same thing or... You know, I don't know, but it's hard to say. Is it without being there, we don't know what's being coached. But that was just the one sort of negative for me from the weekend.
This would impress me, Parker. Remember, in I think it was 2003 in the Carl Harrison Championship season, we signed an Australian centre, scored about 10 tries in 3 games, scored a hat trick against Swinton, never saw him again. Can't remember his name.
His name was James Jimenez.
That's him.
Is it Jimenez? Twice. Oh, he came 2008. 2003, we signed Mick Byrne in the South.
Was it Byrne?
He only played a couple of times and he was actually rubbish, to be fair.
No, but, was it him? Mick anyway, Byrne. We'll think about it.
But Jimenez came over with Chris Borghese.
Maybe Jimenez, actually. Thinking
Jimenez
about it.
From Illawarra. Yeah. George Illawarra. He didn't say he didn't like it, and then he just gave the game up. And he looked like a natural talent. Actually.
Yeah, yeah,
really good. But he went back, and I think he started working in a factory back in Australia and gave it up.
Jim Jimenez. Yeah, remember him. Anyway, so stats wise, completion rate: Salford went to 93%, Lee 81%. Meters made: Salford made 1,071, Lee made 1,144 meters. Post contact meters, Salford made 686 meters, Lee made 576 meters. We made 35 tackle bursts, they made 19 tackle bursts. We had 8 errors, they made 12 errors, and we missed 19 tackles and they missed 35 tackles, Parker.
35's a lot. That completion rate is unbelievable, especially when I know the commentators mentioned it as well, but when you play the way we do. High risk sort of rugby. We keep the ball and we throw the ball about a lot to complete at 93%. That's incredible. It's not. I mean, I'm not Carol Vorderman or Rachel Riley, but that's not far off perfection. unbelievable stuff. That surprised me. That has surprised me. We didn't make many errors. I know we didn't, but it just kind of. There's ones that you missed during the game, and if you said 80% and they're gone, that's pretty good. That's the level that we should be aspiring to, 93%. And then the meters as well, in the first half especially, some of our guys, Big King V was making massive meters. Ollie Partington did quite a few. Jack Ormondroyd as well, he's had two really good games. He was probably one of the very few that came out of the OKR game with much credit.
Yeah,
but he was really good again with his... He's running. He didn't do overly, but when he needed to, when he's bringing the ball away from our line, he made big meters then, and when it counted. So that's really good. They're really good stats, and if you keep them up every week, you're going to be very difficult to beat. If you're not making errors, the opponents aren't getting the ball off you,
yeah.
And that's tremendous. I'm delighted with that. That's really shocked me.
And you're completing in the right end of the field. Yeah. As well, that's the important thing because if you they can't score when they're 80 yards away if you're defending well. So if you're coughing balls up, that's when pressure builds. You see, so 93%, fantastic stuff. other stats, individual stats now, Parker. Top tacklers, Amebora 18, Sam Stone 25, Callum Watkins 30, Oliver Parton 33, Shane Wright 29, Jack Ormroy 23, and Joe Mellor 21.
Wow. So Joe, between Joe Mellor and Amebora, they did sort of 40 tackles.
Yeah.
And Hooker, which Ame has been doing virtually every week recently, hasn't he, on his own? So that must be a big lift for him. Because you don't want to burn him out, he's only young and he's got a lot to do. But Joe Mellor, I thought, was tremendous. Mm. He was really good, real threat, especially in that first half, a running threat that we need. If you've got him, Borough can do it, Chris Atkin can do it. They're going to be a real pain for people. But yeah, good tackling, considering we had, you know, probably most of the ball anyway. Players getting into the 30s in tackles shows some work rate that. Doesn't surprise me that Cal Watkins was in there again and just a machine, really. It really is a machine. But yeah, really good stats again.
Yep. Tackle burst, Tim Laffey with 6, Neil McDonald with 4, Ethan Ryan with 4, Ryan Briley with 4, Sam Stone with 3.
Yeah, again. They're the things that Paul Rowley mentioned after the Leeds defeat, first game, that we weren't getting the benefit of those breaks, those tackle busts, because perhaps the referee wasn't picking Leeds up on certain things they were doing when we were making them busts. We were getting held down a little bit too long. The other day, you could see that was getting us on the front foot. And that's where, because we don't have a big pack, we don't have massive forwards who generally do punch holes in teams, you've got your three quarters doing that. And I think, again, I'll go back to Nofluman. I think he will probably do that when he comes in as well, a real sort of bulky threat. That takes a lot of work away from the forwards and sets us up to get up the other end of the park. Just have half breaks and stuff like that. Just land on your feet, get on your front, play your ball again, and let's go again. That's what we need. And last year and the year before, we weren't doing that. We weren't doing it enough. We had maybe one player who could do it, usually Timmy Laffey. Now, we've just mentioned most of the back line there, all getting their head through the line. That's going to put us on the front foot every time.
Yeah, I think it's such an important aspect of Rowley ball that you sort of back five are bursting the first tackle. Yeah. Just to get some momentum, gets us going up the field, you see. That's the important thing. So, yeah, good numbers there for them lot. Carries and metres, this one, Parker, to give you an idea of work rate. Neil McDonald, 13 carries, 115 metres. Tim Laffey, 14 carries, 98 metres. Dion Cross, 15 carries, 87 metres. Callum Watkins, 12 carries, 94 metres. Oliver Partington, 12 carries, 67 metres. Shane Wright, 15 carries, 104 metres. And Jack Ormond-Roy, 9 carries, 73 metres.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Consider, like you say, but it's spread across the team.
Yeah.
As well, they're all kind of doing it. Shane Wright, I don't want him to turn into a prop. I think he could do quite easily, bulk him up a little bit. He's certainly got that aggression and that go forward. I mean, he's a second row for me, and hopefully for a long time to come with us, because I think he's a great player. But he's doing a superb job up there. And I suppose the problems come then is when you do get a fully fit team, what do you do with players? But yeah, again, brilliant. Players making 100 metres plus, he's always good. Oh, you know, it's a great sign. And Nene McDonald and Timmy Laffey, they amaze me. They seem virtually impossible to stop at times. You look at, I mean, the strength of Laffey, he just bounces players off him. Every time he's taking two or three men, and that's the other thing that they're doing. They're not just making meters and punching up. They're tiring defenders out, because two or three are getting into the same tackle, and it's creating space. Certainly with Nene McDonald, who just... He's a machine. How big is he?
Yeah.
He's a monster. So having them in the team is making our forwards' lives that a little bit easier. And we're seeing more from them now.
Yeah. I think, did I read on Twitter that he's obviously, he must be sort of celebrating Ramadan. I think, didn't he give him some food on at some point? Because he has to wait for the sun to go down before he eats, which is, you know, all this effort, commitment to the cause, not eating, it's going to take a lot of you, isn't it?
I'm not the biggest of men, but I can't go more than an hour without eating something.
Yeah.
How he does that, the discipline that he shows, and then to go and play rugby in the manner he does, I don't know. I really don't know how he does it. Superhuman.
He
like you say, he won't be eating for hours and hours before. And I know Paul Rowley said they had a little, not a break, but there was an agreement with Lee, wasn't there, that player welfare has got to be looked into. And because of that, maybe just allow him to have something extra or what, or an extra break when he needs to. And you've got, obviously, we've got to do that, and that's only right. But it just shows what a supreme athlete he really is. Because if, like most South Sea Islanders, you know, the massive units, can you imagine how big he would be? So, brilliant, full credit to him. And since this season started, he's just been brilliant, hasn't he, to watch. And I'm sure the Leeds fans are probably kicking themselves a little bit that their club didn't do more to keep hold of him.
Yeah. Final one, average gains. Mellor with 7. Neil McDonald with 9. Tim Laffey with 7. Kay Cust, 8. Amir Bora, 10. Callum Watkins, 8. Shane Wright, 7. Joe Shorrocks, 10.
Brilliant.
So, big numbers. Big numbers.
Absolutely. That's, yeah, again, really impressive. Against disciplined Leeds side as well. They're pretty tight in defence most of the time. So, yeah, that's really good to see. Hopefully we can carry that on now into next week, into Friday night's game.
And, yeah.
And I tie a Cass out, because the one thing I will say about Cass is they'll be up for it. We'll talk about it later, but I don't think they'll be as fit as Lee.
No.
If you keep doing that to them, turning them round and making them work, it could easily go in our advantage. So, yeah, brilliant. And well done to the lads for Saturday. Them stats just show how good we were.
Yeah, big thanks for your three-word man of the match things on X. Dom Hall, great team performance. Briley, Andy Lancashire, great 2 points. Sneed, Dave Parker, back on form. Sneed, I said, first-class reaction. Mellor, OSF, more to come. Cust, Stuart Smart, Champagne Rugby. Briley, Richard Morton, started to click. Sneed, Natalie Taylor, didn't panic. Stone, Anita, great first half. Cust, Colin Wilson, Saturday night delight. Sneed, Mike Redfern should do better. Not sure about that. I thought we did really well.
I think possibly in defence. Yeah, not conceding tries, I think, would be that slightly in defence. I get what he means. I think the score could have been better. But the performance overall, I've got no complaints. You've got Lee last year. Don't forget, he won the Challenge Cup and finished in the playoffs. We're not talking about a team of dummies here. So it's, I know what he's saying in terms of the defence. I get that. But, you know, in the result. But, yeah, I think probably a little bit harsh, but. Again, it's about opinions. You see things in the game that I wouldn't see, so that's fair enough.
Yep. It's on to Cass Sneed. Andy C, another 2 points Sneed. And Jeff Whitlow had to be Sneed. So, yeah. So, like you say, a lot of sort of different man of the matches there. Briley, Mellor, Cust, Sneed shows, like you say, good team performance.
Absolutely. I just want to say, by the way, Colin Wilson, one of our listeners, happy birthday. It's his birthday today. I know he won't hear this till probably tomorrow or whatever, but I wish him happy birthday. A very long-term fan and a great character as well. I'm sure he'll be there on Friday night. Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, I thought Stone was outstanding. I thought Partington was really, really good. But he'd have to go to Sneed again. Mm. He's just, at the moment, like I say, he's at the top of his game. He is really, he's possibly the best halfback in the Super League at the moment, and every time he's on Sky, which is every week at the moment, but every time he's getting man of the match, he's running away with Man of Steel as it is at the moment. Who knows, we might have a third winner in what, 5 years or something, 6 years, whatever it is. I mean, that's, I know it's a long way to go yet, and I don't want to, you know, curse him or anything like that, but he just controls everything. The speed of the play, if he needs to take a little bit of a break or whatever, he drills the ball out of play. He's just doing everything right. I thought, like you said, and a few there, Cade Cust had his best game. They say Stone, Mellor, Big King V was making big meters. Nene McDonald, it's easy when you win. And Ryan Briley, obviously. But I think just with Sneed being that linchpin in there and just controlling everything, it's making everyone else's life a little bit easier.
Yeah. So that's a look back at the victory against Lee. And now we'll see what's happening in the world of South Red Devils. Devil in Detail News. So we'll start with the self-service kiosks at Parker, situated in the south stand and the east stand. People can go onto the iPad thing, tap your order in, and then go and collect it from the vending place under the stand. Very exciting times. The future is bright. The future is here, Parker. No more missing 10 minutes of the first half. You won't be missing that Zach Hardacre nearly scoring now, because you can get there before the game, get to the iPad, tap your details in, and then just stroll to the front of the queue. Hopefully, they'll have more than one queue. They'll have a queue for people who haven't got their head around this iPad, and people who have got their head around this iPad, to go and collect your food, and then you can come back to the stand and enjoy your food in peace.
Something's got to happen. I did say, in the West Stand,
yeah,
I've been there, very rarely do I have a problem getting served. Oh. Very, very rarely. The queues, this copious amounts of staff and bars and everything. In the South Stand, it's a nightmare. I went, like I say, I missed the last sort of 5 seconds or whatever, the first half. Got down there. We had the whole of half-time and came out and missed minutes of the second half. I was getting 2 hot dogs and a coffee. I mean, I'm not ordering a lot. The trouble is for me, and I'm only talking about me, is it's no good because my eyes won't see what's on that screen. So I won't have a clue what I'm ordering. That's beside the point. It will take other people out of the queue and make things flow, hopefully. But yeah, something's got to happen in the South. That's one thing I remember from a few years back when I was in there, that it was always a little bit slow and a little bit, I mean, there was something like 4 queues of people, and we were all waiting for ages. I know they do the best. I'm not saying they don't, but something's got to happen. So hopefully this will... I didn't actually see the machines, I'll be honest with you. And again, that might just be because I'm partially sighted or whatever, but I think that'll be good. Once it gets up and running and people do start to use it, and maybe get a couple more in. But like you said, you can order your drinks and get it at half time or whatever. People just go in, boom, the queues are different and shorter. So, yeah, great idea. I know the idea years ago. Do you remember when we were talking about the stadium back 2009 or whatever, back at the Willows? But you're going to be able to be in your seat and order your drinks from your phone. Now, we've not got that yet.
No.
But that's got to be the next step. And you can order it while you're watching the game, go down, get it, and come back. No problem. And it gets charged to your phone. All your details are there. That's the world we live in now. So, yeah, but that's, I mean, it is a great step forward, isn't it? And we need more. And hopefully with the stadium now, hopefully coming into the council's control and whatever else, who knows where it can go. And hopefully we can improve the experience, because it's been a long slog at the formerly AJ Bell and the Salford Stadium for fans. I think it's been, the transition's never been easy. And I think little things like this now will start to make you feel a little bit more homely. You know, people will start to come back and enjoy the experience. Again, there was complaints the other week about the car park and all that. It needs work. But once we get a grip of the stadium ourselves, and we're not relying on somebody else looking after things who may not have a full grasp of what goes on a match day, that'll help us out. And so who knows? But yeah, this is the start of the future.
The future is here. The future is red. And it's on an iPad next to the bar. So audio on the iPad. 10 minutes before kickoff, and then you can stroll up to the bar, past all the people queuing, get your beers and your hot dogs and your food or whatever, and then you'll feel like you've achieved.
Sounds good to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Other things. Walking Rugby is on Eccles College on a Wednesday, 8 till 9. We talked about you want to get down there and have a go of it. It's going to be great. Obviously, you want to get involved in that, contact john.blackburn@salfordcc.ac.uk. The Learn Disability Rugby team also train on a Wednesday. They train 7 till 8. If you want to get involved in that, contact Lee on 07596818340. The Girls Development Training Probe starts on the 5th of April, Parker, for under 12s, under 13s and under 14s. They are training from 10 a.m. to 12 midday, and then under 15s, under 16s from 10 till 12:30. So a lot of information there, but it shows, like you say, what the community is all about. The foundation doing a fantastic job, different things for different people.
Yeah, my nephew's just been involved in they've been a 2-day sort of Easter, I was going to say spring, but I'm looking out, I'm trying to find where spring is. Sort of
sprung.
Training session sort of thing over the last couple of days. And I mean, he got absolutely drenched and he was frozen when he finished. And Adam Sidlow came down and did a bit of work with him and that kind of thing. But it is great that the club just do so. And you don't hear about it. I mean, I only found out, I mean, I had my nephew with me at the game on Saturday night. I only found out today he'd been on a 2-day course. I didn't even know it was happening. So it just shows the club and the development team and all, we need to shout about them and the great work they do and what they do offer to the community and the opportunities. And like you've just said there, I mean, we've gone for walking rugby, learning disability. We've got the young girls that can get involved. We've had training sessions there in the last couple of days. There's so much goes on that we don't get to talk about, we don't get vision of. And well, that's partly our job, what we can do for the club as well. But they do a fantastic amount of work. The wheelchair, we mentioned that, and everything that goes on at the moment. I think the wheelchair, I don't know if they've got a tournament coming up, haven't they? I know there's a lot of work goes into that and organising that. So, yeah, just all credit to them and the way that they do develop. And people, for years, even now with the stadium, all what you're giving the money to the club, to the rugby club for, it's just a rugby club. It isn't. It's more than that. It's what it offers to a community. And I think the problem we've had in recent years, and again, goes back to the stadium, which will change, is it's out there. It's out of the way. It's not in everybody's vision like the Willows was. People walk past every day or whatever. In terms of being in your psyche, if you live in Oddsall, you've got no idea what's going on in Barton. It needs to be shouted about and spread more. And the local press could probably do a little bit more, I think, for me to promote what the club do. But yeah, again, just brilliant the way they put themselves out there. A lot of work goes in by a very small number of people. And it's not free. You know, somebody's got to pay for it. And the club do a great job and the foundation. So yeah, I just hope, you know, people can get involved.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. The girls development group will play Lee at Caddy Z on the 8th of April. So obviously you train on the 5th of April and then you play Lee on the 8th of April. If obviously you have a girl who wants to get involved in that, then you get them to contact joanne.shepherd@salfordcc.ac.uk and she will sort that out for you. Ryan Briley celebrated his 300th career appearance against Lee, one of our own. Been revelations since he's come to Salford, living our dreams, let's be honest. We used to stand in the shed and support us as a kid growing up, and now he's in the thick of things, scoring tries, playing well, winning supporters player of the year, winning podcast player of the year. I mean, is there anything this guy can't do?
Look, it's 300 games of education for Ryan Briley. He's developed now, a bit like what I said about Mark's name. He's took everything he's learned, he's took it in like a sponge, and now he's using it to the best of his ability. I'll go to the sin binning the other day. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he had to do to try and prevent their man from scoring. At any cost, it has to be done. That's the way it is. Mm. And everything he's done for us since he's put that Salford shirt on has been... You can see it in him. You can see what it means. You can, even after the game, when he goes over to his family, or his family, in the last few years, I've been sat just in front of him in the West End. Now, obviously, I've kind of moved about a bit now. But and you can, the passion that he's got, it is, like you say, it's what we want. It's what I grew up wanting to do. He's doing it. He's living that life. And he went to Lee, and he went to Toronto and Huddersfield, and he's had real hard times. We all saw that interview, and you kind of heart broke for him a few times, what he's been through to get to this point in his career. And it's everything that he wanted is now happening for him. He always wanted to play for Salford. He's now got that chance, or he got it last year or whatever. He wants to be a regular Super League player. There's no doubt about that. None whatsoever. He is a Super League player. He's scoring tries. And he looks like he's enjoying it. And He's an absolute credit to his family, but he's a credit to himself, because he could have easily hung his boots up at some point, thinking, I'm going nowhere. He was in the Championship for God knows how long with Lee, scoring try after try every week, but it came easy. How much was he learning? Was he getting better? Was he improving? And he's took it on himself. And working with Paul Rowler has clearly been the dream ticket in that way. And he's just taken everything in, and he's got better and better. And every week you see something new about him. And he's got that control. And I think the next step for Ryan, and I know he's part of that crew at the moment, is to skipper the team, is to be that captain. Now, at the moment, there is only one for me who is captain of the team. But they're getting a little bit older, Callum and Sneedy. And I know Ryan's not a young chick, but he's certainly got a few more years, and I think that'll be the next step, that, that Ryan O'Brien gets to be the skipper of our club. And what a way to probably see out his career in that way, that he could do that. And I think the other thing is, he's a nerd, isn't he, about rugby league. A bit like in the way that Ian Watson was before. He loves rugby league, he follows rugby league. And I think, I know he does football agent stuff at the moment, but I think he's a career coaching as well for him. And he can pass that passion on, or at least in some way stay connected with Salford Rugby League Club. Because he's an ambassador for what we are, him and Callum Watkins and people like that, of what you can become. And I'm just full of praise for him and the person that he is now.
Yeah. He talked about educating, and I spoke to him in the pre-season media day, and he says that, you know, part of his thing is to bring the iPad to training and show the younger players sort of what to do and kind of coach them through it, which was, I thought, was very impressive. I thought, that's, as a senior player, to use your time in a good way, proactive way, to make everyone else better is fantastic for me. So that's great for him. 300 appearances, loads of tries, loads of goals. What a player. We were talking off air, weren't we, before, about where would you rate him? We've had a lot of good fullbacks at Salford through the years. Obviously, he's not finished his Salford career, so he could go even higher in this list. I mean, it's a tough list, isn't it? And where to place him is a big question, because different fullbacks have different strengths. I mean, Gary Broadbent's defence is fantastic. Yeah. I think Ryan Bradley's defence is equally as good, but Ryan Bradley's better going forward than Gary Broadbent was, and he's as good under the high ball, so he's probably better than Gary Broadbent. Kyle Fitzpatrick, both scored loads of tries, both used to come round on the edge. I think Briley's got a bit more about him than Fitzpatrick did upstairs. I think he makes more than Fitzpatrick did. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see where you'd put him, really, in that list.
I suppose it depends how far you go back in many ways. I mean, there'd be people shouting at us now from the 70s saying there's only one. And one of them would be our chairman, who's in Paul Charlton. Probably wouldn't get any better. But for us, going forward, I mean, I remember the first fullback I remember Steve Rule, but not greatly, but it's Paul Fletcher. It's another Salford lad, Salford fan. Great fullback. He was very slight, very small at the time. Yeah, the sidestep that would kill you. He was brilliant. And he could catch, he could kick. And then obviously he went off to Hull and Cass afterwards and everything. Great player. But then you go on to the likes of Steve Gibson. And Gibbo, completely different player altogether, unorthodox. You wouldn't coach anybody to play the way Gibbo did, but it worked. We had Gary Jack, who at the time was the best player in the world, not just the best fullback in the world, the best player in the world. I mean, how do you rate players like that? They all have different things. They all played in different teams. So I suppose realistically, we can only look at the modern era of the game in terms of Super League. And like you say, Fitz, he was in there, he was great at what he did, but he was a halfback again, a bit like Ryan in many ways. He was a scrum half, really, when he came from Swinton. And Carl Harrison made him a fullback and a great fullback. I would say Ryan was a better all-round fullback than Fitz. Not knocking Fitz at all, he was great for us, but there were times in defence where Carl was a little bit positionally a little bit out of it. I suppose
Johnny Wilshere.
John Wilshere, I'm not sure you're his greatest fan. No. I like Johnny Wilshere. I thought he was a great player.
Jason Flowers.
For a bit, yeah. Jason Flowers for a bit. Overall, I suppose the only other player that can compare is Niall Evans.
Yeah.
Who was brilliant. A sad day for the club when he left, but we replaced him with Ryan. And I don't think we've lost anything.
No.
And I think that says a lot, because for me, Niall Evans at the time does and shouldn't have left. He should never have left us. And he's finding that form at Rovers now that he had back then. The move to Cass clearly didn't work. Wasn't right for him. But when Evans was with us, he probably top two or three fullbacks in the league. So to replace him was always going to be difficult. We brought in Ryan Briley, who has done that. Yeah. He scores tries like Niall. He chimes into the line like Niall. The only thing I will say is I think he's probably a cleverer player.
Yeah. But that's the key.
I don't think he has the step that Niall had and that little bit of extra pace that Niall had. Because Niall obviously was playing on the wing to start with as well. He was rapid. So there's differences in the game. You put them both together. I mean, wow.
Mm.
Perfect. But yeah, I think his organisational skills are probably better. He's a clever footballer than Niall. So they're the only two you can compare. So when you say, where does he fit in? I mean, it's impossible to say at the moment because his career is not ended.
Oh, yeah.
He may end up in a grand final and lift a grand final. Who knows? Next year, he might win a Challenge Cup. Mm. Where does he put him then? If you go through a whole club of fullbacks that we've had with going back 150-odd years, who knows? But he's definitely in the modern era. He's up there with Niall Evans.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see, obviously, what happens, obviously, in the next few years. But like I say, it's been fantastic. You know, congratulations on your 300th career appearance. Mm-hmm. And hopefully many more to come. Next bit of news, Becky Davis, one of our ladies, has been selected in the Welsh squad to play Ireland in on the 27th of April. World Cup qualifier.
Mm.
Really good player for us. I know she had a few injuries last year, but she's obviously fit this year. She played numerous positions. I think she played standoff. I think she played hooker at one point. I think she's a second row by trade. But yeah, you can tell that she's a good one.
I mean, it's always, we said last week about people getting to represent the club and then getting to represent your country. I mean, how massive that is for her. Especially in a team at the moment that we're not catching the headlines like we have done in previous years. But I mean, you saw like Brogan Evans, who went off and played for Wales and played magnificently in last season in the Welsh shirt, and she can go and join that. And what a boost it is for the club, and the girls around her will look and go, this is where I want to be, it's what I want to be doing. We've got to keep hold of that's the next step. Obviously, we don't want more clubs coming in swooping for our girls, but brilliant. I'm delighted for her. She obviously worked hard. Like I say, she suffered a lot with injuries in the last 12 months, so it's good for her to get back into it and be picked for a country. It doesn't get any better than that, I don't think.
Yeah. So congratulations, Becky, from everyone on the podcast. And obviously, you know, what an honour to play for your country. And Kai Morgan has joined Rochdale, 2-week loan. Parky, we talked about opportunity, gives him a bit of game time at Rochdale. Obviously, with Sneed and Cade Cuff playing so well, he needs to get some minutes under his belt.
Yeah, and I think obviously he's got Joe Mellor and Chris Atkin as well, who, if we do struggle in the halfbacks, they're going to go in. He's a little bit down at the moment. He's still got a lot to learn. And like I say, going out on loan is going to do me. I mean, I see Nathan Connell scored for Whitehaven at the weekend, set up their first try in a great game against Barrow. And looked like a cliffhanger. I think they won by a point in the end, Whitehaven. Come from behind. They're great. I think they were like 20 points to 6 down and won 23-22 or something. It must have been a cracker, a Cumbrian derby, if you can call Whitehaven to Barrow a derby. I mean, I'll walk it. But yeah. Brilliant for Nathan to be out there, and it just shows that you get your chance, and he'll do great, Kai Morgan. The reports that we got from Leeds fans who knew him well, skipped their academy, he's got a lot of ability. And now you know what I'm going to say. You know where this is going. I mentioned it last week about Kai Morgan and getting game time. It wouldn't be great if he went to Oldham with Sean Long and another great international halfback in Mike Ford. We've teamed up with Oldham, and we're loaning players out to other clubs. I'm a little bit confused as to what this setup is about. Why we've got a partnership with Oldham and not using it. Maybe Oldham don't want it. Don't know. Maybe we've just got to get these players out. It just seems a little bit odd. And I would love him to go and get some experience with two halfbacks, international halfbacks. It won't get any better for the lad. And that would be the opportunity that this partnership with Oldham would open up. And to play with some great, great senior players, but players who have had a great career in rugby league at the moment at Oldham. Not knocking Rochdale, another great local club who, you know, I'd love to see do well. But I mean, the difference last weekend, I think Oldham played Rochdale and put 50 on him. So there's a gap between the two massively. But I mean, Kai, get game time, stay fit, learn your trade, you know, and come back. But I'd like to see him go to Oldham, but if the opportunity's not there, it's not there. But it just seems a bit of an odd one at the moment. We're sending players out to other clubs.
Yeah, it does make it makes interesting thought because, like you say, you've got a partnership, a dual registration with one, but you're not using them. So what are we doing? But I suppose that's something, I don't know if you'd speak to Paul King about that because I don't think it's his department. Would you talk to Paul Rowley about that? Would you talk to Ian Blees about that? Who decides that, you know, we're going to put this player through this pathway, as in we're going to take, let him go to Oldham rather than go to Rochdale? Or is it on him? Did he decide, well, I want to go to Rochdale because I know we'll play? That might not play. Who are Oldham's halfbacks? I don't know. I'd have to find out.
The lad that was at Leith, what's he called? He's put a bit of timber on. He's got two. Ellis, Jamie Ellis.
All right.
He's at Oldham at the moment, halfback. So, I mean, Oldham have got a really good team. Too strong for the league they're in by a long way. They've got some great, like I said last week, Craig Cock, Jack, Jordan Turner, Elijah Taylor are all in there. The Chaplow brothers. They've got real experience for that league. And that's why I'd like to see a couple of our younger lads go in there and develop with them.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be an Ian Blees, Paul Rowley situation. I think Rowles would say, look, I can let him go. Blees then goes and finds the club. I think that would be the way it works. He controls football matters, doesn't he?
Yeah,
so
maybe
Blees it. I don't know. So I'm sure we'll get some feedback from somewhere about it. But yeah, I just hope he goes well and proves how good a player he is, because he is hopefully going to be our future halfback. So go out, get your experience and come back.
Yeah. So good luck, Kai. At Rochdale. So that's all the news, and now we'll look forward to this week's games.
It's time for the Devil of the Details Big Match Review.
So we'll start with our ladies there in Challenge Cup action on Sunday. They face Barrow on the community pitches, 2 p.m. kickoff, Parker. The Barrow Raiders have lost two games so far. They lost Narra to Wigan and they lost Narra to Cardiff. So they had a good side. Lots of good players in there. I've seen the highlights on YouTube. It's going to be a tough game for our ladies, but opportunity to obviously get a bit more game time, try a few things, ready for the league season to continue next week.
Yeah, I know Barrow, they were a good team last year. They did really well. They've improved massively. I think from our first meeting, probably 2 years ago, maybe, with them, they've advanced massively. And say every week, we've lost so many players. It's going to take us a while to get back to where we were. But both of them have lost both their cup games so far. So it's all on the line. But it's about improving. It's about just taking them extra steps now and trying to just learn a little bit more, get to. I mentioned it with the first two about Cade Cust, having to get to know his players, the players around him, new players dropping into teams, and you're in and out, you've got injuries. Same's happening with the ladies' team. You don't get to field the same team every week because girls will have other things, they'll have work to do, no matter uni, whatever it is, they've got family. They're not full paid professionals, these girls. So it's hard for the coach to get all the players together and get them to learn together. And this is the only way it's going to work, by playing competitive games. And Barrow will be that. And hopefully, we just want to get a few points on the board and get a bit of confidence in what we can do. And the good news is that I think Sunday's possibly going to be the best day weather-wise.
Oh.
So, I'm not Wincy Willis. I'm not a weather girl. But I think that's what I've read. So, hopefully, a chance for us. Because we played in awful conditions the last couple of games. Really bad. And it's... If you're trying to learn something and try and move the board, try and moves that you've been doing in training, indoors maybe or whatever, to get out on the pitch, it'd be nice to see a bit of sunshine maybe, at least dry weather, and see what we can actually do. So, yeah, fingers crossed the girls can get something out of the game, get a few points on the board. Who knows? We might just turn it on and get the win. But anything just to build a bit of confidence before we go into big league games for the season. Against another good side in Barrow. So, yeah, fingers crossed we can get points on the board.
Yeah. Talking about our ladies and weather always makes you laugh when I watch the game against Cardiff Demons on RDTV and the lady, Cardiff lady, filming it because she's on a gantry and there's wind and there's rain and she's like hanging on the side of the gantry, like nearly being blown off trying to film this game. Trying to apologise to some of the board. Like, oh, I don't know what the quality's going to be like. She's getting blown away. But like you say, opportunity to get fit, some game time, not play for a couple of weeks, hopefully a few players back from injuries. give them a game, and then we'll say we'll bring that confidence going into the Bradford game the week after. And that's the important thing, obviously. Mike Grady, new coach coming in, new set of ladies to work with. Like you say, it's going to be a building project, but there's enough quality in there, I think, that we get into our league campaign, we get into our stride, we'll win matches, and then come playoff time, end of the season, we'll see where we are.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's going to be the key. It's just, these are ramp-up games in many ways. Especially the game against Wigan. I mean, I said at the time, we're literally not in the same league as them. We're two, realistically, we're probably two leagues apart, if you like, if you think of the quality that they've got. What did we learn from that? And then what did we learn from going down to Cardiff and having a tough game down there? It's about, we've got to learn who we are as a team. What's our style of play? What individual does what in the team? And again, we've not played the same team any week. You swap and change, and somebody's injured. Or if we get a couple of games together where the girls can develop, I think we'll see a big difference. And like you say, then we're set up for the league, and that's when it really kicks. And we're not likely to win a Challenge Cup anytime soon. I mean, you know, the men's team have been trying since 1938, so. I don't think there's any rush with that, but getting into the league, trying to get ourselves back into a position to try and fight for a promotion again or whatever, bring in more girls from the higher leagues who want to then come and play for us. That's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to achieve.
Yeah. So good luck to our ladies on Sunday against Barra. Paul Rowley's men faced Castleford on Friday night away from home. Tough place to go, Parky. We talked about that. We need another professional performance to beat Castleford. Obviously, we wanted the reaction against Lee. We got the reaction. So it's about the reaction to the reaction and not thinking, oh, well, this will be easy and going in half-baked. I don't imagine that happening because Paul Rowley, I don't think will let that happen. But it'll be interesting to see what happens next.
Well, I think Castle target this. I think they'll target us as from the start of the season as being a team that they would think would be down there with them. You know what I mean? They like everybody else would. And we've been there in recent years, and we've had a couple of decent results against them. I know last year, I think we ran riot for a while, played really well, but it was a lovely sunny evening and everything. So hopefully I think it's going to be fairly nice over in West Yorkshire actually on Friday night. So fingers crossed for that. And that'll suit us because that's the way we play. We need the ball. We move the ball about. I watched Cass against Leeds last week. In an absolute monsoon, and the pitch was just a bog. It took me back to the old days of winter rugby. It was a dreadful night and not a great game. But I saw signs in Cass of improvement, not brilliantly, but as in their effort was there. Certain players, Westerman again, was superb. They're trying to get something together. I think they're learning, like a lot of teams do, from early in the season. New coach, new way of playing, new players. And I think they're going to target this, and they're going to come at us hard, certainly early on in the game. We're going to have to weather that. Mm. But if we stay professional at 93% completion rate, we'll be okay. But it could be tough. The crowd will try and make it hostile, as they always do. So I don't think it'll be quite as comfortable as a lot of people think it will. And because going to Weldon Road is always tough. The pitch is, it's not a standard size. It's a lot tighter. So we need a bit of space. We're going to have to work for it, but we should be confident. We're playing really well. Like I said earlier, and it was mentioned to me that we should be undefeated, really. We're a pretty good team. So on the night, I do fancy us, but I think there'll be times in the game where it'll be a bit tense.
Yeah, they're in a development phase, aren't they, Cass? They've got some decent talent. Jack Broadbent, Jacob Miller, Danny Richardson, Paul McShane, Joe Westerman. So they're not a bum club. They've got some talent there that we need to be watched. Yeah, like you say, it's not a great place, is it, for us? Recently, I think last year we won. Was it last year? We played really well. So you're hoping for more of the same this year. Squad's out as well. No changes. McDonald is in the squad after a limping off with 20 minutes to go against Lee, which is really good. So... yeah, Paul Rowley will be confident going into the contest, I reckon. I think, obviously, he knows he's got enough quality in that squad to win easy. But, like I say, rugby league's not played on paper, though. It's played on grass. So, just need to make sure that, like you say, we keep our completion levels at 93%, turnover ball in the right areas, and capitalise on any errors that occur.
And I think the other thing is, and we were talking off air, weren't we? I think there's something like 15 days in between now and our next game. So we've got no excuse to leave anything on that par. Just give it everything we've got for the full 80. Go and really just tie it. We get rest after this, which is, we've had a tough start to the season, played a lot of games. We've had injuries, so we can get bodies back up for that. So just go out and give it. And the other thing is that certain players will look and think he might be back. And he might be back. The likes of Chris Hankinson and Singleton and Gil Dudson and people like that, they might be back and fit. So what happens to my place? So you've got to play for your place.
Yeah.
Because you have an off game and these lads have come back fit. In 2 weeks' time, you're not in the team. You don't want that. So it's a good position for Rolls to be in. He's got that threat that he can change the team if he has to. But I'm fairly confident. The way we clicked at times the other day, some of that rugby, it would take a very good team to stop us. If we play like we did against Saints, for most of the game against Wigan, like we did against Lee, we should be okay. We should be. I do. I have got a fair degree of confidence in us this week.
So, prediction time, Parky. I'm going first this week. I'm thinking Salford dominant away performance against Cass. I'm going Castleford 10, Salford 44.
Wow. Okay. I'm just trying to find it because obviously I did me Parky's picks.
Yeah.
My niece has absolutely just ruined everything that I've done. Right, ah, here we go. Yeah, I found him again. Yeah, no, I've gone tight. Because I know what it's like going to Cass, and I know it's going to be tough. And if we do cut loose, we could do what we've done in recent years and put decent scores on him. I remember the first game of the season the other year when Sneedy was kicking over for Budgie and we were scoring tries. And the last year, Brodie Croft, just before the playoffs the year before, Croft was setting up tries left, right and centre. We ripped him apart that day. And then last season, again, Croft had a bit of a wow game. Dion Cross scored a belter where he sent, I think it was Widdop. I think Widdop was still walking halfway to Hull when he went around him. I don't know where he'd gone. So, yeah, but I do think it could be tight. I'm saying this because I hope it isn't.
Okay.
But I'm going to go Cast 16.
Yeah.
Salford 24.
16-24. Park is in for the Nando's if it comes in.
That's I'm going with it. I backed us last week, but I can't remember what I went with. Right. I wrote it down. I've lost it. So I don't know. I could have won last week. Who knows? I don't think I went 32-22 though. I think that's pretty unlikely. I think I went something similar to what I've just done. Strangely enough. So yeah, the thing is this season, and I know you watch London getting beat every week, and Cass are getting beat every week, and Hull FC, but I still think there's games out there where somebody's going to just shock somebody big time.
Yeah.
And I hope it's not us, but obviously this weekend, I know Huddersfield travelled to Hull. Hull have been absolutely dreadful, but I watched Huddersfield last week against London, and they weren't that impressive. And I think it only takes you to have one off day, like we did at Hull KR.
Yeah.
You can have your pants pulled down on you. So we've got to be on our game. If we are on our game, we play to our ability, we should have nothing to worry about. But like you said there, Paul McShane, he's got a great kicking game. Westerman's been in great form. When he came to our place early in the year, we nearly threw it away then. We got to a great start and then your foot comes off the gas, get a bit complacent. You do that, you're well done road, you will get beaten. We've seen it where in the past where they've come back and beat us in the last minute, God knows how many times there. You all go up from that far end and you just go, I don't believe you've done it. It's been that many times and that's what scares me about going places like this. Games we should win and put to bed that we don't always do.
What was that winger we signed? What's his name? From Cass?
Gravian.
Who? Great. No, the other guy.
Gravian. No. Carney.
Carney. And he scored for them. I think it was something like, was it 24 up with about 10 minutes to go? And they scored like four tries in like 4 minutes. And he scored the winner in the corner. And I was like, I cannot believe this. I honestly just sank to my knees and Terry's like, I don't believe it.
Yeah, so, Rangi at that time and Wellerhorath and people like that. I mean, they were a better team then than they are now. They had some great individuals back then who scored a lot of tries. Who's the other winger they had? Went to Rugby Union. Went to Sale.
Oh, they called him. Danny.
Solomona,
that's him.
You know, and they had some great players, Cass. I mean, they've always been a strong team. But I think at the moment, Again, like you say, developing, they've got a plan. That's the thing. And they're looking probably beyond this season. Mm. But it's always a banana skin when you go there.
Yeah.
It's a tough place. Leeds didn't make it easy for themselves last week. I know the conditions were bad, but they struggled at times. So, yeah, we've got to stay switched on. But if we do, we'll be okay.
Yeah. So, that's the end of this week's podcast, Parky. Another great show. Great chatting. Talking all things Salford Devils, looking back on a great win last weekend. Lee, just want to say a big thanks to all our listeners and the Kofi Reds that have donated this week to allow us to purchase the programmes, which allows us to create this podcast week in, week out for your enjoyment, Parky. Another great show.
Yeah, it's just a joy doing it, isn't it? Shame Paul couldn't be here. Somebody's got to keep the wheels of industry turning,
this is
haven't
it. They? But,
yeah. We miss him when he's not here, and I love listening to him. He's got sort of great ideas and stuff like that. I love his opinions, but I'm sure he'll be back next week. Hopefully, we'll have another show and hopefully talk about another victory. And like you say, just if anyone is looking for anything to do, have a word with him and say you want to listen to this or watch it on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah,
just keep supporting us. And like I say every week, if you've got anything you want to say, just say it, just tweet us or whatever. We can bring it up. You got anything you need to even advertise? I don't know. I'm not talking about you selling your sofa. I'm not talking about that. But in terms of a local amateur club or something you may have missed, like you say, about this stuff going at the club that we don't always hear about. You heard about it? You got an event coming up? Just let us know and we'll give it a plug.
Yeah. Like I say, big thanks for engaging with us and supporting us. It means the world. So that's the end of this week's Devil in the Detail. I'm Rob Parkinson. You can find us on Facebook, Devil in the Detail SRD. You can find us on Twitter at DITDSRD. And you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes and Spotify. Good luck, Reds. We'll see you on the other side.
Ha ha ha.